This message is brought to you by Cornerstone Gospel Church in Frankston, Australia.
All right, well, let's move on. You're going to need to turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 4. We're not going to delay with this. We need to get into this because we have quite a bit to cover. So let's do that immediately, and we'll go straight into the message. We're talking about the process of growth. That's what we've been looking at. And so far, we've covered off all these topics here. And today, we're looking at rest and the importance or what the Bible says about rest. And so Hebrews 4 has an interesting phrase that we want to have a look at. And so if you have your Bibles open, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and we'll examine this issue of rest in a little bit more detail there. So we're going to read another lengthy passage there this morning. I don't think that we as Christians should be ashamed of actually reading scripture in church. I believe that some of the modern methods involve not reading too much of the way of scripture in church because it may be off-putting to people. It's not exciting enough, apparently. So if people aren't excited by the word of God, then I think there could be something else wrong. Let's keep moving on here this morning and look at Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 1. Let's read there. So, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day today, saying, through David, after so long a time, just as he has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, Father, we thank you again for your word this morning. And we ask you to bless your word and bless this message, Lord, as far as it is truth from your word. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we'll just keep that up there in place. Hebrews 4 speaks about a Sabbath rest, and verses 9 and 10 in particular state that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So the question is, how is Jesus our Sabbath rest? And to understand this, we firstly should understand what the Sabbath means. The Hebrew word Shabbat is simply rest in the Old Testament, and it's first used regarding God resting on the seventh day after the creation, and it later became recognized as part of the law of Moses, referring to a weekly day in which the Jewish people were to do no work. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus declared himself Lord of the Sabbath in Matthew 12, He equated himself with God the Father, becoming God in human form. And in addition, he declared the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And in Hebrews 3 and 4, the author taught Jesus as our Sabbath rest. So the author of Hebrews takes this idea of Jesus being our Sabbath and he kind of examines it in a little more detail. And this reveals how our relationship with Christ frees humans from works of the law and allows a person to rest in the work of Christ to forgive sin. So Christ has forgiven our sin. That is his work to forgive sin. And as a consequence of his work, you and I then are brought into rest in him. And ultimately, those who believe in Jesus will spend an eternity in this Shabbat, in this rest, Hebrews 4, verse 9. Let's take a closer look at that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Now, the King James in verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, the word translated labor is represented as diligent in the New American Standard. The word in the Greek for interest sake is spoudazo, and it's used to describe speed, to make effort, to be prompt, to be earnest, to give diligence, to give endeavor, labor, and study. So there's an interesting dynamic behind this word. Let us be diligent to enter is not a bad rendering of the word, because it implies about the careful efforts on our part to enter into rest. I kind of like the way that the King James introduces this idea of two opposing ideas, labor and rest. And you know, we know that when you work, there's something sweet about coming home from work and being able to rest. But the idea is not that idea that we're fatigued by working so that then we can rest. It is this idea of being diligent so that we are living in a state of rest as believers. And I believe that this is all tied to spiritual understandings concerning spiritual truths about us. Now, we should be showing diligence to enter that rest, the scripture says. So on the surface, laboring to enter rest seems like a contradiction, but there's a specific correlation. The Christian life involves this struggle that believers are often in, that we agonize in the process of discovering and understanding much needed truths. And this is not in vain. This is important for us. It is a necessary thing, because through this effort, you and I begin to discover many things about ourselves, and we discover much needed truths. We learn about our inheritance in Christ, and this is a really important thing. And paradoxically, this includes the idea through this effort, through this labor, we learn about rest. And so, as I said, that is not a working so then we feel the rest. It is this investing of ourselves into the spiritual struggle that introduces us to the idea of rest. Jesus declared, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, God rebuked Judah and said, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. All believers should be looking to God, our Father, in a confident trust that God is the one who has taken care of the spiritual needs and taken care of our lives in that regard, and that we can rest with confidence in his care and his concern for us. Psalm 104, verses 27 through 28 says, "They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them, they gather it up. You open your hand, they are satisfied with good." Imagine for a moment, if you will, just learning a foreign language. You hear sounds and you see text that's written, and it looks and sounds indistinguishable to you. You know, though, that a language can be learned because people are speaking that language, and so you've gone there to learn it. The first rung in the ladder really is that belief that this can be learned, and there's going to be a lot of plotting necessary for that to come about. And at times you almost give up, but not quite. So months pass, time passes, and the day comes when finally what you're trying to grasps you, and you begin to speak the language. You begin to hear it and think it. And this was part of what happened to me when we were living in Macau. I realized I was really learning the language when I started dreaming in that language and started having to interpret back to English to tell people things because I was so used to speaking in Cantonese. Now, your growth in Christ is just the same, because there comes a time, a moment comes when the vestige of strain and labor is gone, and our faith in Christ is so strengthened at that time that we realize that there is an inner witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives that actually teaches us about the rest that we've come to know. And so when that rest comes about when we begin to see that the old I is crucified with Christ, and the new I, this new person, has Christ as our permanent life. And you and I have talked a lot about that in Romans chapter 6. We've been looking through that a lot. So this is a witness of the Spirit in the inner man, that the Spirit gives you and I this witness of the new life of Christ within us and teaches us that we can rest in Him, and that we can, as branches that are grafted in, we can reside in the vine, abiding in Him. And thank God for this. You see, what it is actually, it's the needs that we have which introduce us to that fulfillment of rest, and the hungry heart that discovers that rest, which is a fundamental principle of the Christian life, that we hunger and thirst for righteousness and we shall be filled. So God reveals spiritual truth to meet spiritual need. So many rest on the initial stage of the new birth. You know, they hear the gospel and they respond to the gospel and they're born again through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It doesn't stop there, though, beloved. But for many people, it does stop there, and a wrestle begins, whereby they're often just wrestling with this works-based mentality. A once famous preacher, another dead one, Charles Henry McIntosh, said, "The more clearly we enter by faith into objective truth, or what is true of us in Christ, the deeper, more experiential and practical will be the subjective work in us, and the more complete will be the manifestation of the moral effect in our life and character." You know, we've been brought a long way by Jesus, and what McIntosh is saying is that you and I, by searching into the objective truth of God's Word, we find that God is doing a subjective work in us. It's an individual work in you and I, and He's completing the work that He's begun. And He completes that with us individually. So we're not, you know, this is not a cookie cutter work where God is just stamping out everyone who looks the same as some postage stamps that have come off a printing press. Only by faith can we rest in our walk with Christ. It is only by faith. Genuine faith brings rest. No matter how busy we are in the Christian life, we're resting in Christ. This rest of faith concerning our justification. How many people, when they first get saved, they wonder, am I really justified? Isn't it more complex than this? Shouldn't there be some indication that I have been saved? There's a rest of faith concerning our acceptance in Christ, concerning our position in Christ, this learning of this understanding that we have a position in Christ Jesus, an identification in Christ Jesus. And as we talked about in Romans 6, that we identify with Christ's death and his resurrection and his ascension. These are really important, and there is a wonderful rest that comes into the believer who, through struggle, grasps those truths. So he struggles for a long time. Then those truths become a reality, and as they become a reality, it's a wonderful relief for that person to find those truths because they begin to rest in them. Now, unless the believer is firmly established in the truths of Romans 1 through 5, then there is going to be a stumbling. You see, we enter into the truths of Romans chapter 6 through to chapter 8 about rest by following the truths of Romans chapter 1 through 5. These chapters deal with sin and righteousness. They teach us about the gospel and about justification. And then 6 through 8 deals with sanctification, this victorious living, this liberty that we find in Christ, this security that we have in Christ Jesus. Dr. James Albany, he said that failure in the higher stages of the Christian life was due to imperfect understanding and acceptance of the gospel of salvation in its fundamental principles. You know that I've talked about this often, that many people who are born again through a faulty gospel message or a shallow gospel message, that they really struggle to make sense of the Christian life. And, you know, it's a great tragedy that's the case. Metcalf said it's a rare thing to be able to sit down and teach because in most settings today, one is limited to dealing with the first principles of the oracles of God and can go little further than the basic facts of the new birth. You cannot deepen spiritual life that is not there. You will only build askew if the foundations are not properly laid. A lack of application of the wonder of a full salvation in Christ opens the door to every kind of overbalance and spells continual frustration and failure. Now, sorry, I was struggling to read that because I had the text in a bad color. But isn't that true, that when there's this bad foundation of the Christian life, that it's impossible to build upon that? And many of you have experienced that very same thing in your own lives, you know, in coming to a revelation about the deception of churches that you are involved in. Christians must learn to rest in truth, even in their service for him. So we come into possession of this truth and we rest in it. When we find out about the gospel and about Jesus' declaration of the work of salvation being finished by him, and once we gain that understanding, we can rest in that, and it's a comfort to us in our lives. Someone said, in actual experience, when we have apprehended our deliverance through death with Christ, the self-life often appears more alive than ever. Just here, God would have us stand firm upon his written word. The increasing revelation proves that the surrender to the cross is a real thing, because the Holy Spirit takes us at our word, and then he reveals that that life is dealt with at the cross, and our part is to yield ourselves and take God's side against ourselves. This resistance that we have to all that God is doing in our lives, and this resistance that we have, which is born of the self-life, is vital that we get on board with God's truth in his word concerning that. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The faith that receives from the hand of God is in two stages. The first stage is the battle and labor stage, we might call it. The second stage is the stage of rest. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight, take hold on eternal life, of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hebrews 4:11, let us be diligent, or let us labor to enter rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. You see, our battle, our labor, our struggles are consummated in rest. True activity is that which springs out of and is ever accompanied by rest. It is only as we know what it is to be still that we are ready to go forward. What a wonderful quote. Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. In verse 10 of Hebrews 4, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. So the first stage, as we said before, is always the battle. It's always this stage of labor, taking hold by will and by heart and by intelligence, some truths that we're searching for and that we're yearning for, and which has not been real to us in the Christian experience up to that point, but we're searching for it because we know there's something else there. And then we apprehend it, and it becomes a great rest to us as we settle into that truth. And so if there is not a rest out of the truths that we learn, then there's something wrong with this supposed truth that we're learning, in quote marks. So this is a vital thing for us to understand. One person said, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Let us take care lest we get out of soul rest in seeking further blessing, as another said. God cannot work whilst we are anxious even about our spiritual experience. Let us take him at his word and leave the fulfillment to him. Now, we're not saying that Christians don't work, but we're saying that the work we do is in fact accompanied by rest because we have the peace of God involved in that time. So I mentioned Psalm 104, verse 27 before, those wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give us them rest, or give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them that gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are all filled with good. You see, many continue to live as if their salvation is somehow depends on their good deeds that they perform. Now, you didn't have to commit good deeds in order to be saved. You were called to trust in Christ and repent from sin. Now, out of that then comes Hebrews 2 verse 10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. The good works come out of being in Christ Jesus, and we walk forward in good works then. It's by grace we've been saved through faith, not through works, lest any man should boast. So we mentioned earlier that Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest in the sense that he provides freedom from living under the works of the law. So if you are thinking that somehow you have to keep laws in order to be justified, in order to be saved, you are distinctly wrong about that, and there is no rest or peace in that. Instead, you're thinking that somehow you can add to the sacrifice that Jesus has made in order to possibly prove your salvation, or in order to verify your salvation. So we accept salvation as a free gift, entering that rest both now as well as in eternity is this work of this wonderful work that Christ does, whereby through faith and this diligent diligent approach of the Christian life, where we're studying and diligently seeking the Lord, we experience His rest. Hebrews 4 ends with words of comfort to those who do enter into that Sabbath rest. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need." Now, it is as a result of Christ's finished work, we can confidently come before God, receiving mercy and grace in our time of need. This is vital for us to understand. Remember, we read from Hebrews 4, verse 14, "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, it's as a result of Christ's work on the cross, we can confidently come before God and we can find the help that we need. We can find His mercy in our time of need. It is through the labor we come into rest. And so if there is not rest involved in our labors, there is something wrong with those labors. Now, Father, we thank You again this morning, Lord, that we could gather, that we can look into Your word. We thank You for those who follow online, Lord. We praise You for all the members at Cornerstone and those who are further abroad, Lord, who are following with us as well.
Thank you for listening to this message. You're welcome to duplicate this message in its entirety for non-profit purposes. For more information and resources, visit cgc.org.au.